Welcome back. Say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett. The website is strangeplanet.ca. Yiren Sherry's water broke as she started the laundry the morning of September 9th. Her contractions had started in the middle of the night, so she expected she'd deliver her second baby soon. Though when she delivered, where she delivered was completely unexpected. Yiren Sherry welcomed her baby in the front seat of the family's Tesla, while Dad, Keating Sherry, intermittently drove and used autopilot in his rush to the hospital. You can read this story in the news section up at coasttocoastam.com. When we come back, more of my conversation with Jesse Sternberg, master dog trainer and the author of Enlightened Dog Training, Become the Peaceful Alpha Your Dog Needs and Respects, next on Coast to Coast AM. Jesse Sternberg is with us. Enlightened Dog Training, Become the Peaceful Alpha Your Dog Needs and Respects. We'll open up the phone lines at the bottom of the hour and take questions and comments. So typically in nature, or at least in the wild, there's like one alpha male that leads the pack. But if you've got a dog in your home and you have, I don't know, two or three children, you got the husband, the wife, how do you make sure that the dog respects and looks at all of the family members as the alpha? Or is that possible?
Yeah, so to carry that title, to earn that title, means that you have an awareness of your territory. And with that awareness, you are demonstrating protection. It's your job to intercede the mailman and intercede the Amazon package and address the security alarm, which is your dog, so that they don't feel like they have to do the protecting. That's one key. Another key is the resources would flow through you. Those are typically the roles of, and it's not necessarily an alpha male, it can be any sex in the wild, is the leader. I love teaching children. Children are actually some of the best peaceful alphas because they're so calm and peaceful and attuned and locked into the present moment naturally that they're better equipped to react to the spontaneity of your dog's emotions. The idea is that all the humans in the dog's life should be behaving in a way where they have earned the dog's respect.
So we talked about love and, reinforcing your dog's current behavior, love and praise. And we talked about calmness, letting the dog know that he or she is safe and everything is peaceful. But there's also fear. And there's a time and a place for fear. Tell me about that.
Sure. Again, I want to change the name of that to something that I think is going to resonate a little bit better with humans. Let's call it contrast. Contrast. So when there's a canvas of tranquility that the dog is used to, a sharp sound and eye contact, which can be made from anywhere in the room, is felt. It literally rattles the dog's nervous system. Rattle might not be the right word, but it shows up in it. And when is that the right time? That's your technique for saying no, stop it, cool it down, not going to happen, because you're basically using posture that is communicating, hey, are we going to have some trouble here? And that body language is engaging in the forbidden angle with a little bit of chivalry to it. Reading the dog's feelings. You don't want to frighten the dog. You just want the dog to communicate back to you, okay, I got you. Here's a couple of calming signals. I understand the message. And then as the peacefulness part of it is turning off that eye contact as fast as possible so that you're not creating unnecessary contrast. Using that in relationship to resources, food, toys, anything that the dog gets magnetized to is natural in nature. It's natural to do that. And once we do that, meaning once we set a boundary, what's so cool is that if it's in relationship to resource or territory, the dog will surrender very quickly. It will go from standing into sitting into laying down and putting their chin down. I call that the sequence of surrendering. It's something to tune into. Every dog does it. Every dog does it anytime that any boundary is set. Now, they don't smoothly transition from standing, sitting, laying down, chin down, because in the beginning, when you're first teaching this, they might challenge you. They might express their emotion. So the idea is to stay neutral and allow the dog to feel the feelings. And the enlightened piece is that, of course, if the posture is changing from standing into sitting, well, we can feel that energy grounding down. They're putting more surface area onto the ground. They're actually calming themselves down. From sitting, it's not the most comfortable position for a dog to hold for a long time. That's why, you know, when you tell your dog to sit and stay, they've got a lot of power in those hind legs. It's very easy for them to pop up. If the boundary is still set, they will transition from sitting into laying down because it's a lot more comfortable. It's also a lot more vulnerable of a position to get into. That's why it's tricky to train dogs to lie down. So this is such a cool hack, is control the resource, control the territory, set a boundary, and wait. Have patience. Wait for the dog to lay down and put the chin down. You can almost hear this in your mind's eye. The dog will go, let out a yawn in that final transition. It couldn't be getting any more calm. That's actually when the dog is the best dog, too, is when they are that calm. That's
right.
Speaking of sitting,
there's a story of an owner. He has a pit bull. You mentioned even you were a little frightened by the power and maybe a little bit of the aggressiveness of this pit bull. And this owner taught the pit bull to sit using milk crates. Tell me about that.
Okay, so this was one of the best trainers. Wasn't an owner. This was an amazing trainer that I saw. And this is one of the enlightened dog training principles that I talk about. This is an example of doing a hypnotic flow of command. So he set up he was so calm and masterful when he put the leash on this dog. This dog was just, I want to call it wild. And he calmly walked this dog, who was towards a milk crate, and coaxed him up onto the milk crate. And the only thing that the dog could do was sit down on it. As soon as he sat down, he gave a communication, a click, and a treat. He got off the crate, and he repeated that sequence, walking to the next crate. Dog got on, dog sat down, he clicked, gave the treat. But he kept repeating the sequence almost like it was a yoga class. Now you do this posture, now we go here. Now you do this posture, now you go here. Within minutes, I watched a transformation of this dog's energy shift from aggression and fear into curiousness, into trust, into calmness, into tranquility. And the idea is that the idea for a common dog owner is that this hypnotic flow of obedience commands. The dog actually didn't even know the command sit. He just tricked him into sitting by putting him on a very small surface area.
Right. In other words, the dog on the milk crate felt uncomfortable standing, so the automatic thing to do was for the dog to sit.
Mm-hmm. And when he sat, he got praised. And then once he did that behavior, he got released into the next flowing.
Mm-hmm. Any tips on teaching a dog a trick like fetch. People, you know, that's one of the great things about dog companionship is being able to play with your dog. But fetch, how do you, what's the best way to teach a dog to play fetch?
Sure. Fetch is actually a mix of your dog's two favorite games, which are chase and wrestle. Most people can get the chase thing down. You throw a tennis ball and the dog runs after it. There's actually two more steps. Get the ball, big guy, and bring it back to me, and then drop it for me. I find that if you start with two ropes or two squeaky toys, you keep one of them behind your back, you just start playing tug of war with your dog. Once the dog gets a little bit rowdy or excited, you let go of the rope. You've got one behind your back. You suddenly become disinterested in the one that's in your dog's mouth, and you become very interested in the one that's behind your back. The natural thing for your dog to do is drop the one he has in his mouth and come up to you and play with you. When he's doing that, of course, you engage in tug again, and you switch the rope. This is stage one. Do this stage for a couple of minutes and build some momentum for your dog, dropping it and kind of dropping it when you present the next rope. You can name that command, drop it, once you start to see the dog dropping it. From there, you can, once you've got some momentum, instead of going right into tugging with your dog, you can throw the rope 2 feet to the side, 2 feet to the left, 2 feet to the right. He picks it up and he starts tugging with you again. So you're shaping a behavior here. Eventually, you can throw the rope 5 feet, 10 feet, 20 feet. Eventually, you switch it into tennis balls or balls, something like that. This becomes a really cool activity to do with your dog because you can take your dog up and down the emotional scale because it's exciting to run and chase. And once you have the momentum of it, of the dog coming back and dropping it, you can actually start to command it, sit down. It wants to now work for the game. So I like to do this game, get the dog really into performing for you. Then I like to take the dog's excitement level up a bit, and then I like to ground it right down. Hold that down until you're nice and calm. Now, this is a nice finisher to the game because it really does break the flow. You don't want to tell your dog to sit and lay down after every throw. You want to get 10, 15 amazing tosses in, get your dog nice and excited and panting, and then you can even do so the rope or the ball becomes a resource. It becomes a powerful object that is your dog's magnetized to. You can drop that, stand over top of it in the asset claiming posture, make a little bit of eye contact until your dog gives you a calming signal. Now all of a sudden you're using resource guarding theory on your dog. Your dog's going to go right through that sequence of surrendering that I talked about before. When they go and put their chin down, you can give them the ball as the natural reward. Leash them, walk them home.
Hmm. Let me ask about another behavior. And this one is one of the more, I don't know, annoying habits that dogs have, and that is the humping of the leg. How do we address that? How do we put a stop to that?
Well, we always want to take the path of least resistance, the most benevolent path. I think dogs start humping the leg, when they're puppies. And you wouldn't believe this, but people find that funny. People find it funny and cute when it's a little young dog. And what we don't realize is that we're reinforcing that behavior right out of the get-go. A redirection of their attention, a simple squeak the toy and throw it on the floor will get the dog off you. As a peaceful alpha, you don't want to react to your dog's reaction. you don't want to make like a big squeal or a noise or make a thing out of it. It's actually an alpha move would just be to turn your back to your dog. Slowly walk away. Almost as if I'm giving this no energy, which is totally the opposite of the first part of the story, right? When we're laughing and excited when the dog's doing it.
Right. Another dog, I don't know if this is a signal, whether it's a calming signal, but it's also very endearing, and that is that head tilt, which I always assume is the dog being quizzical, but I don't know what that really means. The head tilt, what is that?
Well, the head tilt could mean a lot of things. You know, definitely don't want it to be like a medical thing, like an ear infection or some kind of pain. But if it's in response to you soul gazing at your dog's eyes, then it is the dog's moving out of the line of the forbidden angle. And if you're feeling a lot of love and you're making that angle, the forbidden angle, your dog might be a little bit like, yo, what's up right now? This is confusing. Context is everything, and we have to be there in the moment, and we have to be attuned to our dog, and we have to sort of get the feel for this. This is an art form, and it takes time to appreciate the nuances.
We're approaching the bottom of the hour, so we just have about a minute here. Is it ever a good idea, because it's tempting, obviously, for many people who have a dog companion, to let your dog sleep in the bed with you?
Oh, man, I do. I think it's natural. It's not natural for your dog to own your bed. So have some boundaries. Have some boundaries. If you're calm, I'll bring you up on my bed. If you're rambunctious and you're on my bed first and waiting for me, I might kick you off for a couple of minutes and then bring you back up. But who doesn't love snuggling their dog?
All right. Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I would, if I had a dog, I would certainly allow the dog in the bed. That's kind of the whole point, right? All right, we'll take a time out as we approach the bottom of the hour. We'll open up the phone lines, questions and comments for Master Dog Trainer Jesse Sternberg. Enlightened Dog Training. Back with more on Coast to Coast AM. An iconic Irish almanac credited with having predicted the pandemic 2 years ago has issued its wide-ranging 2022 forecast for world events, first published a staggering 258 years ago. Old Moore's Almanac has become something of a cultural institution in Ireland by way of its annual predictions, which initially came from its creator, the Irish Merlin, Theophilus Moore. In modern times, the prognostication comes courtesy of an anonymous in-house psychic. The almanac sparked headlines last year when it was realized that the publication's 2020 forecast included the particularly prescient observation that, quote, an unusual virus has us worried, end quote. And by virtue of that eerily accurate prediction, it's understandable that one might wonder what the almanac foresees unfolding in 2022. And you can read more about Theophilus Moore's almanac in the highlight carousel up at coasttocoastam.com. You want to be tuning in tonight on Coast to Coast, Sunday night into Monday morning. In the first half, independent UFO abduction investigator Kathleen Martin joins George Knapp for a wide-ranging discussion about abductions, the perplexing nature of UFOs, and the non-human entities associated with them. And then in the second half, over the years, many versions of The Godfather's creation on film have been told. Veteran author and journalist Mark Seal has extensive new information about the film from director Francis Ford Coppola and several other sources. He'll share the tale of the classic movie that revolutionized filmmaking, saved Paramount Pictures, and minted a new generation of movie stars. Just a reminder, leave the gun, take the cannoli. All right, your phone calls, questions, and comments for Master Dog Trainer Jesse Sternberg when Coast to Coast continues. Jesse Sternberg, master dog trainer, enlightened dog training. Become the peaceful alpha your dog needs and respects. All right. I've got a dog problem from our my technical producer tonight, Adam. His mother's dog is pretty good about, doing her business throughout the day. But if the dog senses that you've got somewhere to be or you're going to leave, all of a sudden now the dog sort of, goes outside and sort of takes control of that situation, maybe lingers longer than normal, won't let you, get out of the house, that kind of thing. What do you recommend for Adam's pooch?
Dogs are smart and they're manipulative. This is one way that they're going to manipulate the situation. And I'm kind of wondering how his mom is, what she's feeling when she's trying to leave. Is she in a state of rushing? Is she feeling anxious? Where is her mind state at that? Okay. Because that's most likely the case. When we're in that, when we feel those feelings, those aren't calm, neutral, tranquility feelings. It's a huge tell. Okay. It's signaling to the dog that you're stressed, therefore something could be stressful. The second thing is, when you have that alpha status, it's natural for you to come and go with an aloofness to your energy. So I'm going to assume that she is being kind of pulled into the dog's momentum. You know, if a dog's lingering outside, like, why can't you just say, all right, let's go now and walk inside like a leader, looking where you're going and going in. And to do that, by the way, this is the whole part of the book, is like tuning into how you're feeling when that's happening. Are you feeling guilty about leaving your dog? You know, is there some kind of feeling underneath that? Once you crack that code in yourself, your energy changes, your emotional mood changes, and then your dog's mood changes too. Now, it's not natural for a pack animal to be left alone. They want to go with you everywhere you go. So you have to do a little bit of conditioning at home. And maybe what she could do, just as a experiment, is one day when she's not in a rush to go anywhere and doesn't have to go anywhere at all, practice leaving the house, no talking to the dog, no touching the dog, no, just emotional neutral, leaving the house, and then come back in the house and be aloof to the dog. Behave like an alpha would. You know, don't get excited. Oh, I missed you. I pet you. I love you. You come in and be aloof until the dog calms down, goes into that final stage of surrendering, laying down. Then give the dog some calm acknowledgement. Hey, buddy, I missed you. How was your day? That takes tremendous, it sounds simple, but it's not simple. It actually takes a lot of emotional control and discipline.
Sure.
To do that. And
yeah, your dog is doing acrobats every time you walk through the door. Like, you know, you've been gone for days, never mind minutes. And you're overwhelmed by that love from the dog. You want to respond to it, but you got to play it cool. You got to play it cool. All right. Let's go to the phones. First time caller Scott is in Charlotte, North Carolina. Good morning, Scott. Welcome to Coast.
Hey, good morning, Richard. Good morning, Jesse. I started seeing somebody who has a 3-year-old rescue dog, and he absolutely adores her, but is super aggressive to anybody that's not her, but especially me. And we've been trying to peacefully, like me just sitting on a park bench, and they walk by, and I don't make any sudden movements, and just open to any suggestions to get this super, you know, I think he's more afraid than angry, but, you know, he's just really aggressive to anybody that's not her.
Okay, so you have one dog, you adopted a 3-year-old rescue dog, and the dog is aggressive at your dog has a sensitive trigger into aggression at just about anything out and about. Is that what I'm hearing?
It's his girlfriend's dog.
Okay. 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 And the dog is aggressive towards you?
That's right.
Well, like it's okay. Noticeably okay, okay. Towards me.
So, when you come over, are you, you know, going out of your way to try to be friendly to the dog and make a connection?
No, because we've kind of, we realized early on that sort of less is
right,
more.
That's going to trigger.
And she has a dog trainer, and the dog trainer has suggested that we do, like I said, I sit on a park bench, and they walk past me back and forth, and, you know, I'll get up casually and walk near them, but never, I don't make sudden movements, I don't really address him, you know.
Okay, okay, okay. So you're just looking for some techniques to build trust with your girlfriend's dog, is that what I'm hearing?
Right, right, because we have to kind of schedule around the dog because we can't really, you know, hang out peacefully when the dog is present.
Right, okay. Is the dog crate trained? When you come over to the house, does the dog have a place where it feels comfortable going and feels safe and real, you know, protected? Or is it just sort of free running around the house?
The dog is crate trained, but I don't go in the house when the dog is there. We usually do it at a neutral location.
Okay. So here's what's coming to me instinctively. It would be cool for the dog's benefit to have some repetition of positive reinforcement. Hey, go to your bed. Good boy. Put a blanket over the crate. Good boy. Your girlfriend's going to want to have people into the home more than just you. So that's going to be an important thing for the dog. Not to make this only about crate training, but she could put a blanket over the crate, leave, you know, 2 inches above the ground. So the dog, if it wants to be connected to everyone in the house, is going to have to lay down and put the chin down. And she could put in like a bully stick or some kind of really stinky chew, distracting chew toy in there. That's going to allow the dog to get acclimatized to new people. I can empathize with you because, you know, some dogs are really fearful and have these strong triggers, and it takes a minute to develop the trust with them. When you're developing trust with this dog, you want to exaggerate not looking at it. You want to exaggerate not walking at it in a straight line. You want to start to get familiar with this dog's calming signals. Can you sense when its hackles go up? Can you sense when its tail is curled in between its belly? Can you sense when it's licking its lips and all that stuff? Pretty much anytime the dog is not laser focusing, looking at you, you can rest assured that the dog is aware of you and you are already establishing a calm connection. Another thing that is helpful is yawning at the dog. Every time it starts looking at you, start to demonstrate that you speak his language by expressing that. That's a human calming signal that I find the dogs totally pick up on.
All right, those some great suggestions there. I just want to try and work in some more calls. Scott, thank you for that. I hope you found that helpful. I certainly did. Let's say hi to Cheryl is in Washburn, Missouri on the wild card line. Cheryl, good morning. Welcome to Coast. Do we have Cheryl there? Oh, we lost Cheryl. Okay, let's say hi to Robert in San Antonio.
Hi, Richard and Jesse.
Hi there.
Right now I have 4 dogs. I've had as many as 11. And just when I got this call, there's a huge German Shepherd that came in my yard causing trouble. But what I wanted to ask you is how my wife died in July, and I tend
I'm so sorry.
be a person that raises their voice? And how destructive is my anger on the dogs?
Well, dogs are present moment, and they're eternally forgiving, so don't be hard on yourself for having some reactivity. Definitely. When you're angry, your dogs don't have respect for you. It's not something, it's scary for them. On the flip side, you know, that's such a strong emotion. It's not like you could, if people could control it, they would just, you know, they would just handle it. Also, underneath anger, anger is a cover-up emotion. Underneath anger is usually something that is a strong sadness that we're not ready to face in some way. So part of earning this peaceful alpha status is developing a relationship with your own feelings. And my favorite thing for that is meditation. Which doesn't have to be fancy or spiritual. It just basically means have the same discipline for tempering your own emotions that you would bring to training your dog to temper. So as a simple practice, just sit still or lay still a couple of times a day, just for a couple of minutes, and just listen to sounds. Let your mind focus on one specific thing, and sounds is the easiest thing if you're a beginner meditator. That's going to allow you to become less reacting to the strong feelings. And definitely no guilt in there. I don't think you're doing anything destructive to the dogs. They're very resilient. And just the fact that you're even aware of this is a huge, huge gain for you. Obviously, you're aware that, you know, they're not going to be listening to you when we're feeling those intense feelings. So, and meditation in that moment isn't going to make the anger go away, but catching yourself in it. And just, you know, walking away from the scene. You know what's crazy? I do this a lot. You ever see a dog shake the water off their back?
Oh, yes. Classic.
The classic. And they'll do that after a fight or a confrontation. One of the things that when I'm doing training with my clients and I feel that they're leaving the calm energy vibe is I have them shake their lips like literally just like that. You can shake the anger out that way. And then
very cool
moment. Your dog lives in the eternal now. So
all right, Robert, I hope that was helpful. Thank you. And I'm again very sorry about your loss. You know, we're just about out of time here. So first of all, tell people about how to get the book and the website. Enlightened Dog Training, Become the Peaceful Alpha Your Dog Needs and Respects.
Sure. The book is available from every major book retailer online, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Books A Million, etc. All of those links are available from my website, www.peacefulalpha.com. And I also have a online course, Learn How to Be Your Dog's Own Whisperer, available from the website as well.
All right, final question, and we just have about less than a minute here. Are dogs psychic, or are they just so, are their senses so heightened, their sense perception so heightened that they appear to be psychic?
Aren't those the same thing?
I mean by their sense of smell, maybe their sense of hearing.
Yes, and they also have incredible intuition.
There you go. It's like they know you're on your way home. They go to the door. They're excited because they know, even though you're 2 miles away, they know you're coming. I mean, it's just amazing. Absolutely amazing. I learned a lot, Jesse. Thank you so much for this.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show. It was a great time. Thank you.
Jesse Sternberg, enlightened dog training, become the peaceful alpha your dog needs and respects. When we come back, Derek Gilbert from Skywatch TV will discuss the second coming of Saturn. Stay with us right here on Coast to Coast AM.